Tonight, we're going to be discussing shailos that come up on Tisha B'Av, and we will be now to discuss, because it's a Tisha B'Av Nidche, how that will also affect the halachic questions. It's a big booklet. I don't know if we'll get to all of it, but take it with you. You can learn it over Tisha B'Av. Everything in this book is permitted to be learned on Tisha B'Av, on Erev Tisha B'Av. So it's a good reading, some interesting halachas. The last couple pages, or really the last two pages, really discuss some odds and ends on Hilchas Tisha B'Av about davening, about mincha, some other things. But what I want to get to tonight is I want to talk about a shaila that comes up very, very often. And it's basically a very complicated shaila. And we're not going to pass on halacha l'maaseh here, but at least give you the information that perhaps you will then be more educated when it presented with the shaila. What exactly do we do with people that are not feeling well on Tisha B'Av? What is the status of a chayla? Someone who's ill, someone who's not well, what exactly is his status with regard to fasting on Tisha B'Av? We'll talk a little bit more about pregnant women and nursing women, but it's really going to be, as we'll see, it's really a shaila with all general people that are not regularly healthy people that have the ability to fast. It's complicated. Everyone knows that if you're not feeling well, you ask the rabbi, should you fast? So what we're going to see tonight is, what's the rabbi going to do? Like, what's the secret? Like, what's the magic that he comes up with and justifies your fasting or not your fasting? What's it all based on? So we're going to try to understand the sugya of really chayla and Tisha B'Av. Obviously, it will be affected even more so because this year it's a nitcha. Now again, people start off assuming that because it's a nitcha, you don't have to fast. That's not true. We'll see tonight that that's really not true. It's the furthest from honest. That just because the nitcha means you don't have to fast. It means whatever reason you have, you throw off the fast. It's so not true. It's completely inaccurate. And we'll see exactly how far does the nitcha go. But we'll first talk about general Tisha B'Av, and then we'll talk about nitcha. So let's start off. We'll talk about the famous group of women that are not, it's a shaila about their fasting. You know, just today, my son is, I think, 3 months. So someone said to my wife, you're fasting on Tisha B'Av? Why are you fasting on Tisha B'Av? So I said, because the Gemara says you're supposed to fast on Tisha B'Av. It's Mefurish Gemara. Look at number one. The Gemara says, M'sachim, Oiveris Umei Nekes, pregnant women and nursing women, Mitanus, Mashlimus Ba. They fast and they complete the fast. They don't just fast half a day, they fast the whole day. Kedar Shemis Anus, Mashlimus, Yem Kippur, just like they would on Yom Kippur. So it seems to be a no-brainer. Chazal knew that pregnant women and nursing women are, again, perhaps in a more complicated medical situation than regular people. But the Gemara says very clearly in Pesachim that pregnant women and nursing women have to fast. Now again, I don't mean a pregnant woman or a nursing woman who has other medical complications. Whenever someone calls them up with the shaila, the first question is, what does your doctor say? So once the doctor says you're okay, so then we can talk. If the doctor says no, there's massive complications, there's X, Y, and Z wrong with this patient, so fine, there's other issues. But your average pregnant woman and your average nursing woman should be able to go 26 hours a day without eating, assuming they properly eat on Erev Tisha B'Av, we'll talk about, and they stay at home, we'll talk about that as well. What happens if the husband goes to shul day and she's stuck with the kids? You know what the answer is? Hire help. That's the real halachic answer. We'll see, that's the opinion of Rabbi Eliashiv and Shmuel Kamenetsky. Get someone to help. Today they have wonderful camps you can send the kids to, bring in someone. But the fact is that that's not a heter. So the Gemara says very clearly, pregnant women and nursing women have to fast the regular Tisha B'Av. And that's the way it's written in Shulchan Aruch. Number two, Shulchan Aruch, Semekuf, Tovkuf, Nandalit. Oiver, Uveres, Umeinekes, pregnant women and nursing women, Mesanus, B'Tisha B'Av, Kedesh, Mesanus, Meshulim, Yom Kippurim. They fast the Tisha B'Av like they would on Yom Kippur. Avo, Bishloisha, Thomas, Achim, but the other ones, that's Peturis Melisanis. That's their part of it. Okay. Says the Shulchan Aruch, Vafal Pikin, Rosh, Lechlen, Latana, Gumachu, Mishta. Even those people that are not fasting on any fast, and this is important. It bothers me. Sometimes you go on fasts, you see people on the avenue with these big, fat, massive iced coffees. You can go one day without the iced coffee, drink it at home. Don't walk around the streets. It is a fast day. The rest of us are fasting. You should curtail a little bit your tanis. So Shulchan Aruch writes, for sure, for Tisha B'Av, Ava Pikin, Rosh, Lechlen, Lasanik, Gumachu, Mishta. You don't have to just party. You eat what you need. Don't go crazy. Don't have 12-course meals. Eat whatever you need to survive. Because again, we're still in a matzif of a fast. Then the Shulchan Aruch writes, Chayo. Let's say a lady who just had a baby. So she has longer. She has kol shloishim yom. She has 30 days. So again, a lady who just had a baby has 30 days from the birth. We assume that she's very weak. She doesn't fast. The halacha for Yom Kippur is not like that. We know for Yom Kippur works 3 days. Recently heard a shir from Rabbi Leibowitz, we quoted from Rav Hershel Schechter, that Rav Schechter said, Bizman Azeh, he no longer thinks that women have had the 3 days not to fast Yom Kippur. He says, you see these ladies, the day after they have the baby, they're up and about, they're in the gym, they're on the avenue, they're shopping. He says, well, what heter is there? So although Rabbi Leibowitz said he's not so comfortable, you know, changing what it says in Shulchan Aruch, but Rav Shachter is, he thinks today the Metzias has changed. And that's a big discussion tonight. Can we say that what the Gemara writes, what the Shulchan Aruch writes, was then? Today all bets are different. So we'll have to see if that's the case. But at least for a lady who just had a baby, 30 days, she's good to go, she doesn't fast. Says the Shulchan Aruch, v'chein choyle, someone who's not well, shehu tzorich le'echel, who needs to eat, ein tzrich l'umen, he doesn't have to figure out how much, this, that, and the other, el machinus miyad, give him to eat right away. Now again, this year, if someone's going to eat, he also needs to have Avdallah, which we'll touch upon a little bit, hopefully a little later. Why? Nothing to talk about. A chayla is a chayla. We shouldn't forget Tisha B'Av is the Rabban. So the Rabbanon have rules. One of the rules are chayla is not included. Now here's the $1 million question. What's a chayla? Who's under the banner of being a chayla? Someone who has a ailment. There are plenty of people who walk around, function regular lives, that have many of ailments. They're controlled by medication. And many people will see some of the places can talk about detailed ailments that a person can have. But let's say a person has ailments. He's a chayla. Chayla shein by sakana. He's not deathly ill, but he has ailments. We'll talk about high blood pressure. We'll talk about ulcers, some of the more common things that people have. So the Shulchan Aruch's reading is, b'machim chayla gajabon. Umiyu says the Ramah, noyagim lehisanois. No, that's not what we do. We're noyag to fast. Kozman shein lam tzar gadol. Unless you're very uncomfortable. Shahayolochos to sakana, that you have to worry about danger. So the terms and the terminology and the wording is very, very unclear. What exactly is the rules for a chayla? What is the categorization of a chayla? If you look at the Mishnah Berurah number 3, he writes, "Kol zman shein letzar gadol v'hu adin mikatzas chayla." Let's say someone is a shtickle sick, but they're not so sick. They don't say, "I need to eat." Even though we're machmir, b'tishbav shenitcha yesh l'hokar shleil l'saneh. For a chayla. Says the Mishnah Berurah, if you have someone who's on the border fence of being a chayla, not being a chayla, so then, if he's really a chayla, even though we're normally machmir for a chayla, says the Ramah, but not if it's a tishbav, says Mishnah, not if it's a tishbav shenitcha. Tishbav shenitcha, he doesn't have to fast. V'ayim b'lei rab shekasev, da'afilu yeledes, she'ein ha'mesana, t'esana is a choice, but let's say you have a yeledes, let her fast a few hours. Ochin kamzei kosher lo yedlo, t'esana klav, she can't do that, don't fast at all. Fine. Says the Mishnah Berurah, if you have someone who's not feeling well, he's not a chayla, he's just very weak. It's not kedai to be mach. So again, these are all terminologies. How they play out medically still needs to be decided. So, if we were to stop right here, it would seem to be pretty black and white that pregnant women have to fast and nursing women have to fast and even people that are technically chayla have to fast unless they're feeling ill. Let's say you have a person who's healthy. He has a condition. He's on medication. The medication is treating it. He's doing terrific and fine. So unless he starts to feel unhealthy, he should have to fast. And that's the way the Aruch HaShulchan writes it clearly. It says Aruch HaShulchan, Oiveres u'meinek, it's pregnant women and nursing women. Mesanus u'mashlimus b'tishabav k'derash u'mesanus u'mashlimus b'yame kippurim. Now again, the Aruch HaShulchan lived in the late 1800s. So you start telling me that Nishtan Hateva, things changed. Well, the Aruch HaShulchan didn't live, he lived obviously much later than the times of the Gemara and the Shulchan Aruch, but not so off from our times. Ava b'gimel tzomas, acheres, p'turis, m'lasanis. But women don't fast. The other three, women that are pregnant or nursing, they call shekem b'tanis Esther, v'leachmir al-atzman, v'afal pikin, roshel, yechel, esanik, b'machel, mishnah. Again, Aruch HaShulchan repeats the same words. Don't go crazy. Eat whatever you need. There's no mitzvah to have 12 courses on Tishba. So Aloch L'maisa, if we were to stop right here, it'd be not even a shaila. Anyone that knows anyone who's pregnant or nursing right away is scrambling the last couple days to try to find out what should they do. The answer is pasha. Shulchan Aruch says he's supposed to fast. So if you look over in the Sefer Birur Halacha, it was written by, I believe it was Reb Zilber's son, the Oz Nidbur's son. He writes, "Kol zeh medina de gemara v'shulchan aruch." Yeah, we all know what the gemara in Shulchan Aruch says. Aval lemaisa chitshu meira hara l'hakam u'mubaris af b'tishbav shlei nitcha shlei san klal. But the Rabbanim don't follow that. The Rabbanim have this new idea that today pregnant women, no, they don't fast Tisha B'Av, even if it's not a nitcher. Af lo lefnei chatzos yom, even not even till chatzos, they just don't fast. What happened? Gemara says not like that. Shulchan Aruch says not like that. Mishnah Berurah, Aruch HaShulchan. But today the Meirah Roth read that, and it's true. You'll speak to people that tell you, oh yeah, no, they don't fast Tisha B'Av. What do you do with the Gemara? What do you do with the Shulchan Aruch? Very, very interesting. So if you look over at number 6, on the Sefer Evin Yisrael. Evin Yisrael was Rabbi Yaakov Yisrael Fisher. He was Dayan Fisher, one of the big Dayanim in Eretz Yisrael. So he had a very, very novel opinion on pregnancy and fasting. He writes the following in the Sefer Evin Yisrael. Mu'uberes asur l'sanas b'tisha b'av. He prohibited all women that were pregnant to fast on Tisha B'Av. It's against the Gemara. Fine. Ve'en kan din shurimen. On top of that, he says, there's no din chatzis shir, which we'll talk about. Let's say someone's not feeling well on Tisha B'Av, so they start measuring and counting. So he thinks not for mu'uberes. Keep a makam sakana like Gazu Chazal. Question, what do you mean? What's makam sakana? The Gemara said it's not a sakana. The Gemara said a pregnant lady and a nursing mother can go 25 hours without eating. So what's going on over here? So Darian Fisher is known for his very famous psak on pregnancy and fasting, but he didn't write it in his sefer, so clearly he wrote it in a sefer called Pnei Baruch. It's a very popular sefer. Anyone Nebuchad ever sat Shiva, it was an Aval, they would know the sefer called Pnei Baruch. Now they have it in English, they have it in Hebrew. It's a fantastic sefer for practical avelus and things like that. So in that sefer, Darian Fisher wrote a haskama. And in his haskama, he took issue with some of the things the fellow wrote on the sefer. So in his haskama, he writes the following, number 7. You wrote in your sefer that if a lady miscarried twice, so then the third Yom Kippur, then she eats pachas mekasher. So he writes, he says, but today we're so shvach. Okay, tens of thousands of women miscarried through the tainus. Where are the statistics? Where are the statistics that back this up? Yeah?
So my wife worked in Sharon Seder. And she said the day after Tishrei,
We're going to talk about that. That's an argument that Moshe Sternbach makes. That's where everyone says, oh, if you're in your ninth month, it's okay to fast. Because you're going to labor, so what? Says Moshe Sternbach, but going into labor dehydrated is not very good. But where's the statistics that tens of thousands of babies? So I was always bothered by this. I heard once. I would assume he knows better than me. So Rabbi Neuberger also once mentioned this psak. He also said, like, where did he get these numbers from? Like, again, this is not my words, it's his words. This is what he writes, this is Haskoma to the Sefer Pnei Baruch. He says, tens of thousands of babies have been miscarried because women, I don't know if there's any statistic that backs that up, but he believes strongly. And then listen to what he paskins. He writes, therefore, tzrichin kol hanashim amuberes ad chodesh esiri lecho b'yam kibir b'chus m'kishir. Every pregnant woman until the ninth month has to eat b'chus m'kishir yam kip. Lo shamanu, you don't hear this in the standard paiskim, standard rabbanim don't follow this. So obviously this makes sense why he tells you on Tishbav not to fast. This is Rabbi Dain Fisher Lishitasa. He believes that today the Mitzvah has changed, all bets are off, and it's a whole different world. So obviously according to him the answer is, of course you're not supposed to fast. You're not supposed to even fast on Yom Kippur, you're supposed to eat Pachas Mekasher. But on Tishbav there's no Din Pachas Mekasher, so you don't fast at all. That's not the mainstream opinion from the G'dayli Achrayim. If you look at number 8 in the Nishmas Avram, so he quotes over here, Shemati Meganim Shemazaman Orbach, Umayi Virebi Agayim Norvit, by North, the Shemir Shabbos Kochasai, Shemuberes, Shemagisha, Betoyev Tzvichel, Otzim Tisha Bov. If a lady feels good, she feels healthy, she should fast. That's what it says in Shulchan Aruch. Again, it boggles my mind that people, that again, we'll try to explain why Rabbanim are saying otherwise. That's what it says in Shulchan Aruch. That's what it says in the Gemara. Assuming you're feeling well. Now, we'll talk more about this as well. There's very little reason to justify why a lady should eat Matzah Shabbos this year. Why not? You ate a whole Shabbos, presumably you're okay. You should be able to go. You should be able to go the next day as long as you can go. But I saw you're assuming you're feeling well and everything is good. Why shouldn't you fast? Seems to be no het. Then he writes, V'chein amal yagunin Rabbi Yashem Shlita, She'isha beharon, Tzvicha lotzim kol zman she'magisha betoybin, Avdal v'chadush aron. Says as long as she feels good, doesn't matter what month she's in, the first month, 8 months. So obviously if she's in the early stages, so she's vomiting, so she's going to dehydrate, of course, she has to eat. But if she's in the 5th month, 9th month, what difference does it make? As long as she feels good. Now what does it mean to feel good? So Rabbi Forsheimer told me, I spoke to him today about it, I spoke to him last year about it. His gedder is lightheadedness or faint. He holds when a person feels like that, not only a pregnant woman, anyone. Anyone who on a fast day feels those feelings, that's a chayla. You got to break your fast. Lightheaded, or about to faint, or feel very, very extremely dizzy, he thinks that's it. That's the cutoff you have to. I was once talking to my Rebbe about it, common apathy, and he said, what? I always feel like that on a fast day. I said, okay, you're probably right. Many people do feel like that. We're going to have to see today how to be magdur chayla is probably the hardest thing in this sugya. The answer is abnormal is the answer. If everyone feels like you, then we're in trouble. The idea is that you're feeling different than everyone else in shul. When you show up to shul, and everyone else seems to be like they have it together, and you're like, I just don't, I can't. I'm a mess. So that's a chayla. Now, it doesn't mean that you're chayla she'ema sakana. That's where most of the achrenim we'll see tonight are magdir, the idea of a chayla. Most healthy people that don't have issues should be able to go 26 hours without fasting. Now, if you can't, so then you have an issue. You might not have to fast, specifically this year, because it's an itcha. But for with a pregnancy... I'm sorry? So that depends on the extreme. Migraines could be very extreme, and they could be a reason to be matured. So we'll see. We'll get to it later. And I say it every fast day that we do. This year I put it on a booklet so we can say we have it. Is that I always tell people on this, all the Achrayim agree. If a person has a massive headache and they know Tylenol will relieve it, take 2 Tylenol with a little bit of water, even on Tisha B'Av. 9 out of 10 times, unless it's an extreme migraine can lead to dehydration. So then at that point, you should break the fast without a question, because dehydration is very dangerous. Now, what people don't realize, not only is dehydration very dangerous, but so is diarrhea is also very dangerous. People don't realize when they have excessive diarrhea, they can also dehydrate. So be careful of both of those. Any one of those two things that occur heavily on a fast day, you should assume, you probably could assume at some point you are dehydrating. At that point, you should break the fast with, almost without a shayla. But headaches could be something serious. A serious migraine is treated very seriously. But again, I think for the headaches, a lot of time, again, resting is the best option. Resting and laying down is the best option. Trying to be as less active as possible. So he concludes in the Nishma Savram, he writes, if she doesn't feel well. Now again, what Rabbi Forsheimer told me as well is, let's say women that are pregnant, we also want, if they start to feel contractions, if a lady who's not in the ninth month starts to feel contractions, she has to break the fast, because that's early labor, that's already a problem. We'll talk a little bit more about the nursing women, but again, today it's a little bit more complicated. The Chazon Ish has a famous psak about nursing mothers that they always have to fast because they throw off the milk flow and the baby needs the milk. Today, many babies and many nursing mothers are also supplementing with formula. So it's a little bit hard to know today how much we're still going to accept the idea that the babies need to survive off the mother's milk, and the mother's milk supply is very weak. Some mothers pump and have milk in the freezer, so it doesn't throw off their supplies. It gets a little bit more complicated. So he writes this, Kibirachis yibura, uber cholish biyosib, in the beginning of pregnancy, the baby's very shvach, isig of kam of sida, you can easily miscarry. Buvadi, misakin gamach, muberes, avicha, make on this kabilisaf. Okay, fine. That's the halach. Now, if you look in the Aruch HaShulchan over here on the left side, on top of number 9, he also tries to be magdir, and this is again very hard. What's a chayla? What's a skedish? So he writes this: V'afilu b'tishav avim hein chalushos. If the women feel very weak, shekariv sheyiplu lechayli, they're going to become sick. Apoloi sakana, elam lesanis. V'zehu hefish bein tishav avim kipurim. Di yami kipurim ein laechol rak makam sakana. Tishav, you can only eat if you actually have a sakana. Or with Tishav, afilu shaloi b'makam sakana. You don't need to be deathly ill to eat on Tishav. You need to be a chayla. Why? Because b'makam chayli lagazu rabbanon. But then he writes again, next line, avo bali mechushim ba'alma. But if you're just uncomfortable, so here's the thin line of being a chayla and just being uncomfortable. You're uncomfortable. He says that misanim, that you have to fast. Kolol shadova koshu beged chayla ein misanim b'tishav. Anyone who's sick. Again, sickness has a long list of things that make you sick. What can, you know, bad allergies technically can make someone sick, right? Technically, it could be a chayla shem b'sakana. B'tishbev chosha in beged chayla misanah v'stam u'bash menek misanah on kechalushas v'kroivis l'chayla. Okay. So this all should be no shayla. It's pashut. Everyone has to fast unless they have some form of a condition. Comes along with Moshe Sternberg in the Sefer Chus HaNagas in the Red Slate. Number 9. He says, Mil kol zeh bizmanom. This is all true in the times of the Gemara, the times of Shulchan Aruch, the times of the Aruch HaShulchan, but today all bets are off. Why? Avleim anan sahadi shenishtan ratavim. The world has changed. We're not such good fasters anymore. Ulepamim hatsayim misakin esavlab neichul shosei. It's dangerous to the fetus. V'dinim ayoyim luchal apachas kecheile shein besakana. We are all pregnant women today are cheile shein besakana. Sheyuchmar matzavaydi hatsayim shleigoz rabbanim. All women are now exempt from fasting. So this is where rabbanim get it from. Rabbanim who tell people that, no, you don't have to fast. It's from this from Moshe Sternbuch, because the teva changed and all bets are off. Shagam etzlo yuchmar matzav idea hatzoim. She is a secret shetapel. There's a much stronger likelihood. And then he quotes Diane Fisher, who backs up this idea. Diane Fisher says, as we saw earlier, that today the Betzi has changed and there's thousands of miscarriages, so pregnant women don't have to fast. You know, that's all of Lahavi Raya, I think. But Moshe Sternbuch is really going on Chiddush. And then he writes, Uber, it's Yisrael, shechoy ma'oid. Specifically in Eretz Yisrael, it's very hot. It's hard to handle it. Now, I don't know if that applies today to America. Sit in an air-conditioned room. Sit there and listen to all the inspirational videos that are out there on the internet throughout Tisha B'Av. Put your feet up, sit in an air-conditioned room, and manage. I don't know. This is his idea. So this is, I think, a minority opinion. Rav Shlomo Zalman says not like that. We quoted from the Shemir Shabbos Kol Chasa, Rabbi Yashiv. They all say not like this. They say that they all live the same time as Moshe Sternbuch. They all lived in Eretz Yisrael. They all assume not like that. The Shulchan Aruch says the way the Shulchan Aruch writes. And then he writes, Omnom, Nohagu Mayri Hira Lohoyva, Shirach Mu'uberes Shat Soim Ba'al Mokosha Lo, Gam Kishayna Mu'uberes Petura. What type of woman is exempt if a lady, she's technically not a good faster. She doesn't fast well even when she's not pregnant. So then she's potter when she is pregnant. But if normally she can fast well, then she does have to fast. But if she's starting to feel something abnormal, meaning if she by nature is not a good faster, of course she shouldn't fast. But if she's bad some a great faster just because now she's pregnant or now she's nursing, all of a sudden she's butter, so that doesn't make any sense. That I think happens to make much, much more sense. That's why I passed it. Yeah, we're going to see in a second about it. That is very negeh. It's going to get this year even more so with Havdalah. We'll see why it's going to make a difference.
Drink. If you're fasting, no matter what, you're somewhat dehydrated.
True.
So since you're not drinking for thirst, but you're drinking to get rid of the dehydration, is that considered really drinking?
Well, for tainus, yes. The question is for other halachas, like Havdalah and brachas, maybe not. We'll have to maybe talk about it. Then Rav Moshe has another tshuva in a different volume of tshuvas on August. This tshuva is a chelik hay, then this tshuva is a chelik base. He writes something interesting. You have to remember, Rav Moshe Sternbach only moved to Eretz Yisrael recently. He used to be a rav, used to be a big rabbi in South Africa. Now South Africa has the seasons reversed. Their Tisha B'Av is very easy. It's cool, and it's a short day. So he writes, Umiu, Bizman Achron, Yor Dechush Loilam. He goes back to this new thesis that the world changed, we can't fast as well as we used to. He says, I had statistics. I heard that after Yom Kippur, a lot of people miscarry. The only statistics I know is like Dr. Shulman pointed out, that after Yom Kippur, a lot of people go into labor. I'm not aware of after Yom Kippur, a lot of people. So he'll tell you, you know why you don't hear it? Because they're not fasting. That's not true. We know they are fasting. The answer is, again, I'm not here to debate the statistics with either Moshe Sternbach or Diane Fisher, but okay. You don't need a doctor, you don't need a whole procedure. You don't have to figure out how dangerous it is. Again, most of the doctors that you speak to, most of the OBGs, do give you the green light to fast. They give the green light for Tisha B'Av, they give the green light for Yom Kippur. It's not such an issue. The Kivish are going to be Kivega, Mekel, Benitche, and we'll see this famous Rabbi Kivega, who's Mekel by Nitche. He then read, Heresi Khan, I passed here in Johannesburg, that a Muberis should only not fast, she doesn't feel well. Vahainu Khan, but the Rome, Africa. That's because over here, I'm in South Africa, Shekar Moid. It's quite cold during Tisha B'Av. Vahatsoim Kotzer Moid. It's very short, it's winter there now. So it's a much shorter fast. She feels a little not well. Okay, so there are those rabbanim who pass like that. That's why there are rabbanim who say today, oh no, women, no, they don't fast at all because of this of Moshe Sternbach. And then he writes another svara, which is interesting. So the question is, let's say a lady, this was a shayla someone came to, this is really what motivated this share. I apologize, we're supposed to be more chaylim, but we'll get back to them as well. Someone told me his wife is in the ninth month, so should she fast Tisha B'Av? So the simple answer is yes. Well, first answer is ask your doctor. If the doctor says everything is fine, so then you stay in bed, and you rest, and you drink well on Erev Tisha B'Av, and the answer is yes. Unless something happens. So Moshe Sternbach says, well, maybe not. So normally we assume the ninth month, what are you worried about? Early labor, so go into labor. The ninth month is okay. Says Moshe Sternbach, no, but we don't want you to go into labor dehydrated. That makes it much more complicated to deliver. So he writes in the truth, V'dashi ish poiskim shemakilim, av v'chodesh atshi ish leich paslanem teilet, she'im b'zeh sakana lo yikilu. But if she's weak, if she's very weak, she's what we call dehydrated, it makes the delivery even more complicated. She'll start eating right away when she feels that those are contractions. You make the delivery much more complicated. And therefore fasting will make it more complicated. She's part of from fasting. He says, even if it's not dangerous, this is a real chiddush. He thinks it's like inducing. You're forcing a lady to go into early labor. We know we're very anti-inducing, unless for medical reasons. Rav Moshe wrote a tshuva on it, Rav Moshe Sternbach himself wrote a tshuva on it. We're very anti-inducing labor. So therefore, says Rav Moshe Sternbach, maybe that's what's going on over here. If you're going to make a lady fast, she's going to go into labor, that's like inducing. So, on the taina of Rav Moshe Sternbach, that maybe causing her to fast is going to cause her to have a more difficult labor, so they quote over in the Sefer Shein Halachas. The Sefer Shein Halachas is written by Rav Chaim Kanievsky. On the Hagah, he has a Hagah from his son-in-law, Rabbi Kaletsky. So over there he writes, Im yesh chashasha leida taktim idea taina. If you think that maybe the leida will come early, efshe sheish lahatish lelotzim gam b'chodesh atshi, then you could be mekel. That is not a reason. So I spoke today to Rabbi Forshammer and asked him about this taina. Tell me, whoever said such a taina? So I said, Moshe Sternbach says it in his tshuvas. He didn't think that was a cheshbon. He said, that's not a cheshbon. The fact that she'll then go into labor and it's going to be harder for the doctors, he figured IV will be able to cure all that. I don't know. You have to know better how quickly the IV works. But it seems to be a machlokes. It seems to be a Moshe Sternbach buys into this, while Rabbi Yashiv thought that that's not a cheshbon. So therefore, a ninth month is no different. So a lady should fast the ninth month as well. Shlomo Zalman writes in Halacha Shleima, Hamuberes Mesanus B'Tisha B'Av. pregnant women fast on Tisha B'Av. Ulam im heroine kasha. It's a complicated pregnancy. Oishim argeshes chulsha ma'at yesim and ergo. She feels weaker more than normal. She feels worse than usual. She needs to do what she needs to do. And if it's Tisha B'Av, you can be even more makeup. But on the bottom in Halacha Shleima, he tells a story. He says, "Kein hayi Rabbeinu Mori l'shoil." This is what Rabbi Shlomo Zalman told all the people who ask him. Elo shal pi roiv hoisef achakach. Today in Eretz Yisrael there are more makeup. They tell you not to fast. They mezeg ha'avik because of the weather. Hakasha v'chulsha hadayros. Ulekama shoilim isbate. His response was, "My wife and my mother, they never fasted Tisha B'Av when they were pregnant." Anyone knows they can get shvach. Arkasha, who gave him some mezalman the right to go against the Gemara, so he says he has a mesayra. That's the Messiah of the Rabbanim in Eretz Yisrael. They all have a Messiah somewhere that because of the weather, you could be Mekel. That's the way he writes. In number 14b, in the Sefer Kol HaMisabel, it's a fantastic Sefer. If you want to buy a Sefer on the 3 weeks, 9 days, with all the halachas and all the sugis and all the Rishayim, Sefer called Kol HaMisabel. It's a fantastic Sefer. So he writes this. He, I don't know. It's a Likut. It's a relatively recent Sefer. Fantastic Likut. Saved me a lot of time. So he writes over here, quoting from the Sefer Halichas Hanagas, which I don't have, that quotes from Rabbi Yashiv, that Choyle o Yeledes Sheichoyle Nesanas Benakal Belailo Vadi Yeshon Nesanas. And this is very important. Even if you have someone who's not fasting, but they can fast the first night, why not? You feel fine. So they should fast the first night. Vadi Yeshon Nesanas. Shadayne Eim Dekrim Choyle Menizah. They're not called the Choyle yet. But as the day goes on, you don't have to keep on pushing it off. When 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock, then already you're starting to feel shvach, then you break the fast. So then, take what you need. If you don't need food, don't eat food. If you do need, do whatever you need. Take whatever you need and work with that. I think that's an important lesson as well. And people say, "Oh, I'm not fasting, so already." No. Why shouldn't you fast Tisha B'Av? The night you should fast. I find it very, unless someone's mamish sick, there's no reason why they shouldn't be able to fast that night. You had a whole Shabbos, you ate a lot, you rested. This is what Rabbanim suggests. If someone knows that they're going to have a questionable fast, properly prepare for the fast, which means on Shabbos afternoon, rest up and drink a lot of fluids and drink a lot of liquids. Do what you got to do. So give yourself the best shot. It's very hard to believe that the first night already, unless you talk, I had a brother of mine who last year came into Yom Kippur night already throwing up from a stomach virus. So that's very hard. You're already coming into the fast throwing up. You're already most probably dehydrated and already not going to make it. But if most of us that have come in, presumably that we're going to make it, we should be able to make it through the first night. Now, he's a PA, so he knows better than the rabbis. So he ended up fasting the whole day. He pushed himself. But he probably shouldn't have. He stayed in bed. He went to shul. He told me, "Philip, I told him I would have told you to break the fast." I think that's throwing, vomiting, stomach virus. That's very sick. Dehydration is a very serious ailment. So the Aruch HaShulchan again. Now, okay, so we finished our discussion about the pregnant women, the nursing women. Libi Noita, I personally think they should try to fast. And as the fast goes on, they start to feel, like we saw, abnormal feelings. Or if they're early on in pregnancy, they start to feel contractions. At no point, Avada, they should break the fast. But just a car plunge, not to fast, I'm not sure where that comes from unless you live in Eretz Yisrael. Unless you have this Messiah from the Rabbanim in Eretz Yisrael. I don't have that Messiah from the Rabbanim here in America. That's not what I was told. And I think that's what it seems to be presented like this in the Paiske. Now let's talk a little bit about a Choyle. What about regular? Let's talk about men for a second. What, men, women, what else can a Choyle be to allow one to eat on Tisha B'Av? So if you look in the Aruch HaShulchan, so he also says, he quotes the Ramah, he writes in the third line, 15, V'afilu hu choyle sh'ina mutla b'mita. You don't have to be bedridden. De'ilu mutla b'mita gam yom kippur me'ina misana. It's a guy so shvach he can't get out of bed, he'd be allowed to eat on Yom Kippur also. De'chol sh'mutla b'mita hu kasakana k'demucha b'shabas. Avo bali mechushin ba'alma misanim. So here's the thin line. Pain, not bedridden, but sick. Very unclear. Very unclear what do these things mean in modern day English. We're all mechush on a fast day. Now, there are people that attack a bedridden. They're so shvach, they can't get out of bed, so they probably should break their fast. That's what the Aruch HaShulchan is saying. According to the Aruch HaShulchan, a choyle is someone who lav dafka bedridden, but just feels very, very shvach. We'll see. Shmuel Kamenetsky puts it in a much better term. But the answer is, if you can't go about the normal activities, not just because you're weak, but something's more than that, you're probably a chayla. That's probably the definition of a chayla. The Sefer Hilchas Chag B'Chag, written by Moshe Karp, also from Eretz Yisrael, he writes the following. Chaylim she'em b'hem sakana. Again, no danger. Can you go in ulkus? Ulkus is ulcers. It's not dangerous. It's very uncomfortable. It's not dangerous. Vesicaris. Sicarius is diabetes. That's already more complicated. Now, there are people that have diabetes, but it's under control. They're taking medication, it's treated, and they're not in any terrible situation. Bemida gavoya kazu. What? Ulcers. So, or bemida gavoya kazu, it's on a high level, that the doctors say that fasting could be dangerous. Makes sense. Choli anigna ayagripa amisha ishlam choim gavoya. High fever. That's very common. Some internal issue. They shouldn't fast. Can people that have kidney problems and you need to drink a lot, kidney stones, things like that, that would be in this keder also. That's a chayla shem b'sakana, perhaps, but that's an ailment. Don't go crazy, but eat whatever you need to balance or to manage the ailment that you have. Then he quotes in Remoidim Muzmanim, quotes from Moshe Sternbach, quotes from the Biskarov, who takes it even a step further. He writes, "Ubesuga machla lahat lechoy lecha b'tishbav." He vanti medivri moran agoyin de brisk. I understood from the Biskarov, "Shem soivel achshav mimachla shi mitzad atzmi misukenes." If one suffers from an ailment which it is dangerous, but it's treated, you're treating it right now. K'moish yesh l'pamim belachatz dam gvoya, high blood pressure. High blood pressure is very dangerous, but a person's on pills. He's on medication. The medication is moderate, is controlling his high blood pressure. Ulkis, delikas perakim, the kol shekain belev. I forgot already. I looked up what delikas perakim is. I forgot already what it was. But chayvu lizav me'achrefes mitzvah. You have to be careful. Or shalakach trufas litipol. You're taking medication. But zafil mudasa reifim yachulu atzim. Listen to this briskerov. Unbelievable. Even if according to the doctors you can fast, fully stakim matzavi achshav b'aytem, it will not hurt you at all. Said the Biskrov, it doesn't matter, you're a chayla. That's what the Ramah says in Shulchan Aruch. You're a chayla. It's a big chiddush. Ve'ein olav din tainis tishvav klal. Ve'afilu amdu roifim shiyachal otzam. The doctor says, no problem. You can fast. You're okay. You can go 26 hours. Says the Biskrov, no, you're a chayla. Chaylam don't have to fast. It's interesting. According to this Biskrov, it should come out the following psak. Let's say you have a fellow who has strep. Strep is very dangerous. But he's on medication. He takes his, you know, two doses a day of Amoxil, Augmentin, whatever he's on. So the chayru, he shouldn't have to fast. It's interesting. Shmuel Kamenetsky writes in his Sefer, not like that. He writes, if someone has strep and they're on medication and everything's progressing, they should fast. Why not? According to the Biskrov, you shouldn't fast. That's a chayla. Strep is a serious ailment. I am on medication. It shouldn't matter.
According to, they didn't have antibiotics from the Biskrov.
In the 1950s?
Oh.
Yeah, they did.
Well, penicillin.
Oh, not...
World War II, I don't know.
I'm saying the Biskarov wasn't died in the end of the 50s.
Probably
right, but he's saying that the doctor's telling you it's not dangerous. Saying the doctor's saying your ailment is not affecting your fasting. But the Biskarov says it doesn't matter.
You have, you just take the two pills?
No, I understand. But the Biskarov's lum, this is different. The Biskarov learned that it's a shame chayla. You're called a chayla, you're potter. That's it, nothing to talk about. It's not because the fast is going to trigger it. It's a very, very big chiddush. We assume not like that. If you look at number 18 on the footnote to the Sefer of Shein Halachas, also from Chaim Kanevsky son in law, he writes, Kish Sevelis Mikoltis. I looked that up, I don't remember what it is now. Koltis is. I forgot already. Oishuhu Besoif. Oh, sorry. Koltis is also IBS. Colitis. Colitis. IBS. IBM. IBS. So he thinks that's also mutter to eat. That's a sickness. Now, again, sometimes eating helps, sometimes eating doesn't help. But he thinks colitis. Or IBS, IBM, he thinks that's also begeder, choyl that you potter. Or this is also important, choyim gevaya, high fever. Oy ka'ave garon chazakim, very, very strong pain in your throat. A very, very difficult sore throat. Muteres b'achile v'shtir. This is an interesting gather these achrayim are coming up with. They're broadening our horizon for what exactly constitutes a choyl. So again, whenever the shayles do come up, a rav should be discussed. But I'm just trying to give you the background of what the rabbanim do with that information. You call the rabbi, what's he supposed to do? Doesn't say anyone in Shulchan Aruch kigoyin, you know, strep throat. The rabbanim doesn't tell us that. So later, achrayim are broadening their horizon of how they define a chayla.
But shayles, you take take the medicine.
Yeah, but medication is always mutter, even with a little bit of water. The question is, can you completely break the fast? So Shmuel Kamenetsky is quoted in the Sefer Kivetz Halachot. I think this is a great gedder to keep in mind. He writes like this: the gedder choylish ain basakon leinu shipatim l'tainis ain kigedder choylish leinu Shabbos. You don't have to be as sick as someone for Shabbos. That's well, we do things for them. El kol meisha magish chulsha yoiser miderech shebnei adam kishem zanim chashiv choylish patim l'tainis. You feel worse than everyone else in the room. You speak to people, and they're all managing. They're all getting about, and they're going to shul, and you can't move. You can't get anywhere. You feel terrible. So Shmuel Kamenetsky, that's a sign that perhaps you're, again, the Aruch HaShulchan said, if a person's bedridden, that's a chayla, nothing to talk about. The guy cannot get out of bed Tisha B'Av morning. Break the fast right away. Not even, again, obviously ask a shayla, but any Rav who should know this Aruch HaShulchan will tell you that, no question. Question is, you're getting up and about, and you're a little sluggish, and this, and that, and the other, so you have to figure out, is that mechush? Is that just pain? Or am I beyond that point? Very, very hard to know. To make things more complicated is a tshuva from Rav Moshe. Rav Moshe is a tshuva, Nigris Moshe, Archaim Chelik Dalit, all the way at the end. Right away at the end. Right before this is a tshuva about someone who wants to do tshuva for homosexuality. All the interesting tshuvas come at the end of Chelik Dalit. So he has a tshuva about a fellow. I didn't put the shayla in because it wasn't Sunday, but the shayla was, you have a fellow who does work for the kahal. He's a tzorchei rabbim. And he doesn't want to fast one of the fast days because he needs to work. But he'll be paid it or make it up at a different time. So Moshe told the guy, it doesn't work like that. You can't do that. That's not such an option. You have to follow the fast days as described by the halach. And then Moshe drops this very, very important chiddush. If a person feels weak while working, if he's weaker than most people, so after Moshe, that's a chayla. Af b'tishabav. So Moshe says, let's you have to go to work. And going to work will make you shvach. And now that you're working, you're shvach. So what do you do now? Says Moshe, okay, now you're shvach. Now you're potter. If everyone else, you work in a firm company, and everyone else seems to manage on the fast, and you're the only guy who can't get anything done. You can't move. So to Moshe, you're a chayla, you're potter. Then he says, so maybe you shouldn't go to work. Says Moshe, no, you're allowed to go to work. You're working for Shemaim. This person happened to be working for the kahal. Even though if not going to work, I'd be able to fast. Now that I go to work, let's say I work for other people. I'm hired out to someone. Then you even have to go to work because you're causing someone else a loss. Even though by going to work, it's going to make you feel schwach. Let's say a guy's a construction worker. He goes out on a boiling hot day. There's no way he's going to make it through the day. So pastors, you'd say, so don't go to work. So Rav Moshe said, no. If I'm hired, and it's going to cause a hefsef of someone else, I have to go to work. And then I'll be a chayla, and then I'll be potter. Umishu cholosh betiva yoyis mishab neodom. And if a person by nature is not a good faster, nechshav nami kichoyde shemutter. So Rav Moshe is repeating over and over, the geder is if you're not like everyone else. If for some reason you're not what we call a good faster, so that's a chayla. For whatever reason, you'd be exempt perhaps from fasting. So now the shayla comes up, and this is what we were talking about before. Let's say this is a shayla I get very often from young couples with, couple little kids. So the husband knows he has to fast, and the wife thinks she doesn't have to fast. So after I bust their bubble and say, no, she also has to fast. So the question is, but who's going to watch the kids? The answer is the husband's going to watch the kids. Right? The answer is that if she's not feeling well, so she's going to stay in bed, and she's going to watch all the videos, and you're going to watch the kids. All right, but I have to go to shul to read kinnis. No, you don't. You stay home and watch the kids. If you look over in number 20b, he writes, Isha, says Shmuel Kamenetsky, Isha shem tistorech li talpa bi yoldeh b'yei matzoyim letucha lotza machmas choser kayach. If she's going to have to be busy with the kids, she's not going to be able to fast. V'im tiyaloi oizeris b'bari is tucha lotza. He talks about a different case. Let's say you can hire someone to come help. Chayoves loitzi momen aideze kadesha tucha lotza. Spend money. Hire a babysitter, send them to a day camp, do something that they should be able to fast. So they ask, isn't that against Rav Moshe's tshuva? Didn't Rav Moshe say that if you work for someone else, you should go to work and then you'll break the fast? So perhaps there's a way to be miyashvit. Then on the bottom, he quotes someone by Forsheim who says that Rav Shmuel Kamenetsky told him, Shebaila mechoyiv lishah bebayis. The husband stays home with the kids. He doesn't go to shul. Kedeshetucha lotzim, in order so she could fast. So he writes, that's what B'Yashiv said. I told this to someone once in Yom Kippur. They said, what? Not go to shul on Yom Kippur? I said, yes. Don't go to shul in Kippur. Stay home. Lady called me up. She has like a half hour walk each way to shul. And she likes going to shul in Kippur. But if she goes to shul in Kippur, she's going to have to break the fast. I said, stay home. Stay home. It's in Kippur. Stay home. That's much more correct. So I had this shayla last year in Kippur. So I spoke to someone. My wife wasn't feeling well. So I spoke to a rabbi. He told me, so stay home. I said, I'm the rabbi of the shul. I can't stay home. If I don't show up for Musa, Mincha, and Ila, it's going to be a problem. She told me, Taka, you have a problem. That's the shayla, what to do. So normally, if all bets are equal, we should try to make it that everyone can fast, both men and both women. If someone's not feeling well, then the pot. So this seems to be the simple answer of how to be magdirit. The way to be magdirit is if you're feeling abnormal compared to other people. Now, this is a regular Tisha B'Av. What about a Tisha B'Av Hanitcha? So, believe it or not, the entire idea for Tisha B'Av Shenitcha is based on Halach and Shochrech, and we did this a little bit more lumdis on a Sunday morning a few years ago. I think it's posted online. But the Shulchan Aruch writes like this, number 22, page 3. Tisha B'Av Shechal Yis B'Shabbos. If Tisha B'Av falls out on Shabbos, V'nitcha Liyam Rishon, it's pushed off to Sunday. Baal Bris, so let's say someone's making a bris. Someone's making a bris this Sunday. So what do they do, says the Shulchan Aruch? So Mispal Mincha B'Ayre Yem Gadol. They daven early Mincha. Mincha G'daylo. V'rochat, then they're allowed to wash. V'ein Amashlam Tanisoy. And they don't finish the fast day. Why? V'shiyomtiv Shalayhu. It's a yomtiv for them. So the Shulchan Aruch has this chiddush. I believe it's based on a Rashba, I think, that if someone's making a bris this Sunday, and it's a nitche, so then what happens is after Mincha Gedayla, they break their fast. Okay. How does this have any bearing on a chayla? So if you look in the Ber Halach, he quotes Rabbi Kiva Eger, a one-line Rabbi Kiva Eger. Says Rabbi Kiva Eger, v'chein b'chaylik tzas. So to someone who feels a little weak, umu uberis, sheyesh meichosh k'tzas. Again, not enough to permit them to break the fast, but a little bit. Mutarim lechol, they're allowed to eat. Chedushei Rebbe Kiva Eger. Now, the question is, where does that jump? How does that work? The reason why these people are allowed to eat is because yomtiv shalayhu, it's a din yomtiv. You're a chayla, so follow the regular rules of chayla. So we spoke about that on the Sunday morning shir. From a halachic standpoint, this is a very, very important ber halach. This ber halach is what everyone hangs their hat on this year. Everyone who feels a little shvach says, oh, Kiva Eger. Kiva Eger says, if you feel a little shvach, you're allowed to eat. There's only one problem. What happened to the rule of Dailov Medin Lias Kinodin? You have to be as strong as the case in Shulchan Aruch. When does it say in Shulchan Aruch you're allowed to eat? After Mincha. So a guy wakes up Tisha B'Av 10 o'clock in the morning and says, you know, I'm not feeling so great. Oh, I'm going to break my fast because it's a Nitche. Where do you see that? That's not what it says. It says you can break your fast like the Baal Bris breaks his fast. When does the Baal Bris break his fast? Only after Chatzos. So this is where I think is a bit of a problem. All those people say, oh, it's a nitzchah, don't worry. 10 o'clock in the morning, break your fast. Ooh, that's not true. If you're not enough chayla to break the fast, you don't fit Rebbe Kiva Eger's meichash k'tzas, you got to wait till the case of the Shulchan Aruch. So I think it's mefurish like this in the Shuvas Yankov. Rebbe Kiva Eger writes, Rechdush Rebbe Kiva Eger, look in the Shuvas Shuvas Yankov. So I photocopied you the Shuvas Yankov. Shuvas Yankov was talking about a case in Tisha B'Av Shnas Tov Pei Aleph. If I'm not mistaken, that's 1720, 1721, I think. Double check that with Google. Shekosav Leah, be careful with Google now. They're a questionable company. They might be giving you wrong information about political things and things like that. Put aside current events for now, but wherever you get your knowledge and information from. Said this was Yankov, the shadow was the following. In the year Tov Pei Aleph, it was Tisha B'Av fell out on Shabbos, and it was Nidche. Listen to this shayla, it's amazing shayla. Someone was sick, she'ema sakana, nothing deadly. They were fasting, and they were already after Chatzos on Sunday. And they felt very weak. The doctor said, break the fast right now. So we all know, if the doctor says break the fast, game's over. You know, no one even listens to the rabbi anymore, right? Now again, be careful with the doctors. Sometimes the firm doctors are helpful, sometimes they're worse, sometimes the fry are good, sometimes they're not. You gotta know your doctor well to know what information they're giving you. So the fellow wanted to know, did he give the right answer? So the Shvaz Yankov says, "Hinei vaday, masha hayra sheis pal mincha gedolah yofasa." That's great. You did the right thing. Why? Kivush enichad tish b'aval yemechad. Ain't zarech lashem afilu b'chelik tzas. You don't have to go any further after your chelik tzas. V'chena hakti lahayris bi'aledes tech shloishim oibu muberis umeichesh k'tzas. That's what I used to tell women that are feeling a little shvach, that after Chatzos they can break the fast. But what do you see? Only after Chatzos. So this whole hetter that everyone throws around, oh, but it's a nitzchah, I'm not feeling well, fine. But not till Chatzos. The whole hetter only starts to become applicable, l'cha'ira, only after Chatzos. If you look in the Sefer Birur Halach I quoted earlier, he writes, number 25, he says, Hashonishnas Tov Shemem Ches, that is 19... 88. That the Rabbanim and Bnei Brak, they don't even have to fast on Chatzos. Elo beboik yiktas, a little bit in the morning. Question is, where does that come from? That's not what the Mishnah Berurah said based on Rabbi Akiva Eiger. So that's hard to understand. And then he writes, I don't know. To me, that's hard to understand because I would think you have to wait till after Chatzos. So I think, again, everyone's situation is different and everyone should discuss with their Rabbi. But my personal opinion is someone's not feeling well. So, if it's past Chatzos, then we have much more room to be makel. If it's before Chatzos, we have to figure out, are you a chayla or you're not a chayla? But again, Tishma of Shenitcha, I think, only helps you after Chatzos, as this sounds like from the Shvus Yankiv and the Ber Halacha. That's what Rabbi Forsheimer told me as well. I think that makes a lot of sense as you learn the Sugya. 10 o'clock in the morning should not be different because of Tishma of Shenitcha. The next question is, should you do Pachas, Pachas, Mikishir? Maybe you should do Pachas, Pachas. Person's not feeling, I'll do Pachas, Pachas. So Rosh Hashulchan writes in the end of number 26, he writes, "Upachas mikasher loyshayach b'tishbav shumi derabanan." Not none to talk about. We don't do pachas mikasher and tishbav. It's only derabanan. Don't even bother. Fine. So that's the answer. You don't even bother. The person's a chayli, breaks the fast. All bets are off. Says the Ber Halacha number 27. He quotes from the Sefer Pischei Olam. The makim she'en hamachlo shechaler yachazaka. If you're living in a community where the epidemic is not so strong, chas v'shalom, yochal pachas mikaseves bechdei achilas pras. You should eat less than a kaseves. So the first chiddush over here is that the Isra Achil on Tisha B'Av is Kaisevis, not a Kazayis. So here the Ber Halacha says, do Pachas Pachas. So the Velt has a Kasha. So you see from the Mishnah Berurah that you're supposed to eat Pachas Pachas. Okay. So Pasha is Machloik is Aruch HaShulchan and Mishnah Berurah. Aruch HaShulchan says, no Pachas Pachas. Mishnah Berurah says, yes, Pachas Pachas. It's interesting in the Macheshes. We quoted the Macheshes usually in the Sunday morning share. Macheshes was Reb Chanoi Chenach Aegis. He was a part of, he filled in for Reb Chaim Moizer in Vilna. When Reb Chaim Moizer went away during World War I, he filled in for Reb Chaim Moizer as the head dayan in Vilna. It was a huge Talmud Chacham, a big Paisik, and he was killed brutally by the Nazis. Killed brutally by the Nazis. Reb Gusman said about the Macheshes, he says, what the Nazis did to the Macheshes was worse than all of the Arugi, Asar Arugi Malchus. That's what Reb Chaim Moizer said about the Macheshes, is brutal killing by the Nazis. They beat him and they mamish made his life so miserable. He was the big Rav in Vilna. By the time the Nazis came in, Chaim Moizer was already died, so he was the next in town. And the Nazis had a big desire and a love for always ruining the Rabbanim and the Dayanim, the highest members of society. So they mamish made the Macheshes' life miserable. He was a very, very big paisik, and the Macheshes was killed by the Nazis. Gusman also writes in his book that later on he once met one of the children of the Macheshes, and he tried to ask him, tell me how my father died. He said, I can't explain it to you how brutal it was. He wouldn't even want to tell the child how his father died, how brutal it was. Keep that in mind when you read the Asar Arugi Malchus on Tisha B'Av. Keep in mind this Var from Rav Gusman. It's so powerful. How what the Nazis did was worse than all of the Asar Arugi Malchus combined. Only Rav Gusman can say such a thing. So what does the Macheshes write about himself? He writes, there's a Chrani. He says, I remember. I was sick on Tisha B'Av. It was very hard for me. He says, I did Pachas Pachas Mekashir. So that's a Maisa Rav. So you have a Maisa Rav and you have the Mishnah Berurah. So Rabbi Yaakov, along with many other Gedolim, they assume not like that. They assume if a person is already a Chayla, you don't do Pachas Pachas. If a person thinks they might become a Chayla, then you do Pachas Pachas. That's Pshat in the Ber Halacha. The Ber Halacha was talking about where the epidemic is not yet there, but it may come. So then you're not yet a Chayla, so then you should do Pachas Pachas. But if a person is already a Chayla, a lady, someone already dehydrates, no Pachas Pachas. Go straight in. Someone called me up this week that he suffers from anxiety, he has to take medication for it. And he's afraid that if he doesn't eat and he doesn't take his medication, he's going to be very uncomfortable. So I suggested, let's do Pachas Pachas. Because he's not a Chayla yet. He'll become a Chayla throughout the day. So let's do Pachas Pachas until he becomes a Chayla. That's the way most Achrenim hold. Do Pachas Pachas before you're actually a Chayla. Let's say someone anticipates he's going to become a Chayla. Do Pachas Pachas. That's the way they want to be miyasha this Ber Halach. The Nitzan Gavriel writes from the Papa Rebbe, who Nitzan Gavriel Tzin is a Talmud of. He writes, "Lo shemati mi oila mi meira hayirah sheyifzuku b'tishah b'av leechol pachas mikasher." So I never heard any rabbi paskin that in tishah b'av you should pachas mikasher. It's only in Yom Kippur. Okay, so that's a question. So again, We mentioned before, we'll just repeat it again from Shmuel Kamenetsky, Rabbi Yaakov says the same thing as does Rabbi Shlomo Zalman. If someone needs to take medication, whether it be daily medication or whether it be for a massive headache or whether it be anything else, take the medication on Tisha B'Av, even with a little bit of water. You do not need to make the water bitter. You can just take the medication. There's an interesting machloekis achroinim. Sorry? Anytime. Let's say, for example.
Can you get a lay in?
Yeah.
Is that considered
no,
fast?
No.
Is that because it's a
doch
or
no? No. Every fasting, every fasting. Medication is not food, and it's pachas mikashir.
But how much can you drink? I mean, I was sick. That's why Rabbi said drink and drink orange juice because you know if you're drinking, it doesn't make a difference.
No, we're talking about people that are particularly healthy that just need to take medication.
No, okay, but
someone who's sick is a chayla.
No, I'm just saying, but in general,
someone who's sick.
So if you're gonna take medication, let's say you're taking antihistamine. For analogy, you could take a glass of water with it?
You could take less than a revius. Or less than a moly lugmov. Well, so for Tisha B'Av, maybe it's a moly lugmov. So it's less than an ounce, you're fine. Half an ounce, that's a lot. I know it sounds crazy. A schnapps cup is 1 ounce. Half a schnapps cup is a sufficient amount of water to get the pill down. By for most of us. Rabbi Yaakov Grader writes, practice before getting it down without water. But if you can't, you can use water. This is a mitzvah to women that are on birth control or people that are on medication for extended periods of time, for certain acne medications or other medications, so they have to take it every single day. So then that's not a problem. Again, I suggest this for people that have headaches. Take the 2 Tylenol. Don't break the fast. Take the 2 Tylenol. Hopefully it should work. If it doesn't work, we have a bigger problem. The Machlokes Achroinim, just very, very bekitzer.
You're saying take Tylenol just in anticipation?
No. Maybe. Maybe even if, again, we hold the Tylenol is not food. It's not food, so it's not breaking the fast. A little bit of water, again, this year it's a shtickle tricky. Those people take time-released capsules, so you can't take it on Shabbos, because the Shalav HaChana. So you have to take it after Shabbos. But again, I think if a person has a headache, you should take 2 Tylenol with a little bit of water. That's the general thing I tell the people all the time.
Put the pills like in a yogurt beforehand.
Right, that's the way around it. The way around it is when we did the sugya of medication on Shabbos, if you put it into your medication in a way where it's not nicker, so let's for example, you're going to have food on Shabbos afternoon, so you put the pill in before Shabbos into your dish where no one could tell you're doing it, so you could do that also. That's a good point. Thank you for bringing that out.
Well,
it takes away, there's 2 problems. There's refuah and then there's achana. So as the refuah takes care of it, al-sachana... Yeah, I forgot why. I forgot why it takes care of achana also. I forgot how it goes already. But right, that's what they talk about. They say people shouldn't say, I'm eating now so I can have the energy. Just very big, it's 2 interesting halachas that come up. If a person does eat on Tisha B'Av and they wash, they have to wash their hands, and they do say nachem and benching. We pass them like the Mishnah Berurah and the Aruch HaShulchan, they do say nachem and benching. And again, they have to make Havdalah. Havdalah we spoke about last year. Listen to last year's share. Just one last bit of information is... There's an Indian, the Mishnah Berurah brings down an Indian to daven early on Tisha B'Av. So this year it's very tricky. Tisha B'Av is Sunday. So my shul will daven at 9 o'clock. So how do we justify the Mishnah Berurah? Because Mishnah Berurah writes at the end, but if you're going to daven early, and that means you're then going to finish kinnis before chatzos, it's not worth it. So that's a very good justification. For those people who daven vesikin, the stipler and the chazanish, the vesikiner is all right, you can do vesikin on Tisha B'Av, even though that will mean you will finish kinnis before chatzos. Second issue. If your person knows they're going to be eating Sunday morning, is machlokes achrayim, should they put on tefillin first? Because there's a halacha, you're not supposed to eat before you put on tefillin. So therefore, it's machlokes between Rishon Mizalman and Rishon Mavazna, what you should do first. That's a shayla. Last shayla I want to talk about is, everyone knows when they put on tefillin by mincha, what do? They say, Kriya Shema and the 4 parashas. Mishnah Berurah says not to do that. This is one of those classic Mishnah Berurahs. Mishnah Berurah says it's usur. It's Talmud Torah shaloi l'tzarech. Now everyone does it, right? So Rabbi Ephraim Griba says, what are you talking about? Everyone does it. Puk chazima al medavar. Everyone does it. So that also is a machlokes what to do. Last shayla, what about tzitzis shachris in the morning? Should you take your tzitzis out for Baruch Sha'omar and Kriya Shema? Also seems to be machlokes achrayin. Rabbi Ephraim Greenblatt on page 4 is medayif from the Loshon of the Shulchan Aruch that the tzitzis stay under the beged, they're not even seen at all. Rabbi Chaim Kanevsky says otherwise. He says they are held during Baruch Sha'omar and Kriya Shema. So that's a machlokes achrayin.
What's the problem with you?
Because he's mitayif from Loshon HaShulchan Aruch, they're not really supposed to be out. They're supposed to be under your begadim. They're not supposed to be worn. Same reason why we're not wearing a talis gadol. They're not supposed to be worn. So if they're not supposed to be worn, why are you taking them out? So halacha lemaisa, that's a question as well. Mr. Shem, we shouldn't have to have a Tisha B'Av this year. We should see the gula in our